Good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you this morning. Good to see some visitors here. We are especially glad to have you and happy to see you with us. The days and the events leading up to the coming of God's promised Messiah become very clear to us and understandable in the reading of His Word. And God's Word has much to say about the matter. In fact, the whole Bible story revolves around the coming of the Lord. God has purposed that we can understand why the coming of His Son was necessary. And we have been given the whole story from the early shadows of the promise of a Savior to the foretelling that came from the prophets. God's plan is revealed step by step, and it is delivered in His time. In the first century, Israel was just a remnant of its previous glory, and they were looking for that Messiah to save them. And while waiting for that to happen, they continued to offer their sacrifices day by day, just as the law decreed, lamb after lamb, offered to make atonement for sin. And this was something that they saw often. And when you consider the daily sacrifices and the sacrifices of the Sabbaths and the special feast days and the individual sacrifices, a lamb offered for the sins of man was not an uncommon sight. It was not an uncommon topic to be discussed. It was something that was seen over and over again. And Israel continued to look for a Savior. A Savior they thought that would be in the form of a king that would return their nation to power and to their previous glorious state as the people of God. And little did they know in the first century that in their day, God would send a king to free them. No, not to save physical Israel, but to free all men from bondage, that is, from the bondage of sin. And they did not see, what they did not see, is that to receive this freedom from sin, it would be God who is offering the Lamb, a very special Lamb, without spot or blemish. It was John the Baptist that introduced and testified of Jesus. I want you to take your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 1. We'll be looking at a number of passages this morning, and I hope you'll follow. In John chapter 1, we begin reading at verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John makes it clear that he is a voice in the wilderness foretelling about the one who will come from God. Well, there were many who would have already known the carpenter's son, but they did not realize that he was the one of whom John was speaking, because they would not have recognized him as anything more than the carpenter's son. Especially they would not have seen him as the Messiah. Well, he did not look like a king. But John's introduction indicated that he was something more than a carpenter, indeed. That he was the Lamb of God. Verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward them and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." When Jesus said, "Behold," or when John said, "Behold," it indicated that special attention needed to be given. That here was a moment that great reverence and awe should be displayed. That to whom of the one he was speaking. That Jesus was the Lamb being offered by God. Now this was a figure that would capture the attention of some. Those who understood the significance of the Lamb. Seeing Jesus walk up and John saying, "See, here is the Lamb of God." Surely this captured the attention of some, at least. Because that would mean something. The place of the Lamb as a sacrifice meant something to those Jews who day by day saw lambs being offered for atonement. And that of this Jesus, that he would take away the sins of the world. Atonement. Again, this would capture their attention. The pardoning of sin, forgiveness, freedom that comes from the burden of sin. And that could ultimately only be made by the death of that perfect Lamb. The Lamb of God. Israel was yearning for their promised Messiah. For years the prophets had foretold his coming. But now the time was complete. It'd be several years later when the Apostle Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." It happened in God's time when this would take place. That the fullness of time had come and God sent forth His Son. The description was so compelling. The idea of a sacrificial lamb meant something to them. They could not only picture in their mind the lamb, they could see it as it was sacrificed, a scene so familiar and so vivid to them, a lamb being led to the slaughter. John's disciples began turning to Jesus. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. John's disciples started turning to Jesus. And they told others about Jesus as well. The role of the Lamb, His role in the divine plan was very clear. As John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." From this depiction, familiar images would have come to the minds of John's disciples. Perhaps they remembered what was said in the Scriptures of old, the story about Abel's worthy sacrifice of the firstborn of his flock back in Genesis chapter 4. Maybe it would be Abraham's willingness to offer his son Isaac as a lamb for sacrifice in Genesis 22. Or Israel offering a lamb and putting its blood on the doorpost so the Lord would pass over them, saving their firstborn in Exodus chapter 12. And surely they knew and they remembered the daily sacrifices of the priest twice a day, lambs without spot or blemish for the atonement of the sins of man. That which happened throughout the Old Testament period of time. What they did not fully understand is that Jesus would soon be the one offered as the true sacrificial Lamb of God. That's what they could not yet see. And it's in that truly we can see and understand something about the incredible depth of the love of God. As the Apostle John would pen, "So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." There was the preparation of the Lamb. Jesus was being prepared to serve as God's sacrifice for sin. And for that reason, the body had to be prepared for Him. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" A body was necessary to make it possible for Jesus to come to the world. For Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice, He had to be here. He had to be in the form of flesh to be offered in this way. Again, the Apostle John says in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to earth and lived and prepared to die to be that sacrificial Lamb of God. Jesus knew. Jesus understood His purpose. It was not as though He came unwillingly or unknowing of what would lie before Him. Jesus knew what it would be. Jesus knew what it would take. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth to be that sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus chose to come. Philippians 2 verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. To be the sacrifices for the sins of men. It was essential that He came to earth in the form of man in order to make it possible for Him to die. He came to taste death for everyone, that through death He might destroy him who had the power over death, Satan. And He became that propitiation for our sins. He came to appease, to cover our sins, to make reconciliation. To the Hebrew letter again, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 17. Therefore, in all things He was obligated to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Reconciliation is what He came to offer. A way, a means for us to stand before God. To make this possible, God chose His faithful servant Mary to help. God sent His angel to explain to her what He was about to accomplish in her role and her part, that from her womb would come the One that would reign from the throne of David. He would be a king of a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that would endure, a kingdom that will last forever. In Luke's account, in Luke chapter 1, and beginning at verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. And He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." And this would fulfill the plan of God. The plan that was introduced through the prophets. It was Isaiah who said, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son, and they will call His name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God be with us." Isaiah 7, verse 17. And it was Jesus who would be that sacrificial lamb. And though it was the Jews that handed Jesus over to be crucified by Pilate, let's be sure that we understand with a very clear mind that it was God who was offering His Son as a sacrifice. That Jesus was God's offering for our sins. As John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This was God's plan from eternity. That Jesus would walk among men, that He would prove and confirm His deity by miracles, and yet would be put to death as God's sacrifice for us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Peter preaching says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death." This was God's purpose. This was God's plan all along. That He would offer His Son as the sacrifice. An offering to provide forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. God's eternal purpose is revealed to us. From the beginning of time, chapter 3, verse 9, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's plan for man from the beginning of time. The sacrifice gives man hope. Because without Jesus, we were without hope. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. It is this story, it is this record, it is this proclamation from God that tells us His plan and tells us and gives us reason to have hope, to know that we can stand before God whole and right, and that from the foundation of the world, God ordained this plan to raise Jesus from the dead, to give Him glory, so that our hope and our faith would be in God. He was the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, John says in Revelation 13. And by offering this sacrifice, God made it possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to have hope. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 beginning. Inasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again we read, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, beginning again. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of His sin, of our sins, the atonement of the Lamb, God's sacrificial Lamb. Atonement is what allows us to be reconciled before God. It's God's mercy to sinners. Atonement is that release from sin that only God can give, full pardon, absolute forgiveness. The means of atonement has always required blood. And now Jesus is the Lamb. He was sacrificed. He was offered by the hand of God. God's offering to save mankind from sins that would forever condemn us. It was His blood. That with His blood, Jesus washes us from our sins. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. It is with His blood that He makes intercession for us. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus, the Son of God, making intercession, intervening for us on our behalf before God. Jesus is our advocate, our supporter. It is with His blood that He appeases the justice of God. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He shall see the labor of His soul and be satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. An offering for the sinful. He is an offering on our behalf, for us. A blessing to those who do not deserve a blessing. It is for us that God offered His Son, that God made a sacrifice. In Him, there is no condemnation. What an incredible thought. And it is only in Him, in Christ, that there is no condemnation to stand before God, to be whole, to be clean, to be pure. Because it is only in Christ, by His blood, that we can be cleansed and made pure. Romans chapter 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Made clean and whole. This atonement, this cleansing is available to all who accept new life in Christ, washed by His blood. Forgiveness of sins that comes by being baptized into Jesus. God made the sacrifice. Jesus is that Lamb of God. He is our only hope. Lamb after lamb after lamb had been sacrificed generation to generation. But it was only the blood of Jesus that once and for all would be our hope of salvation. Your only Son, no sin to hide. But you have sent Him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. If you need to become a child of God today, sins washed away, free and clean by the blood of Jesus, why would you delay? And if as a Christian you have stumbled, you have fallen, but you're willing to repent of your sins and to give your life and service once again to the Lord, His blood is still there, will still cleanse us as we confess our sins and pray forgiveness. You need to respond. Would you come as we stand and sing?